Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Just got out of the locker room. Obviously, the guys were disappointed. When you lose a game like that, you know, that's a tough one to swallow.
So here you go. Comes down to one last play.
A heart-wrenching play to have. We practice it. Trust me, we practice it.
Bears at eight deep. Four of them at the goal line. They bring three. Daniels backing up.
Throw the ball up. Give my guys a shot. I didn't see anything.
Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line.
And that was wild. That was so much fun.
Heads towards the end zone.
It is. Goal! 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 Goal!
I just heard people screaming in our sideline rushing the field. So that's how I knew.
It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh my goodness!
How could this happen? How could this happen?
Those plays at the end, and it comes down to that last play, and we've practiced that play 100 times since we've been here.
This town is going crazy!
I am not okay.
I don't even want to be around anymore.
This is one game, right? I know it's, like I said, when you lose on the last play, it's going to hurt, right?
I'm not okay, but it's all going to be all right.
Nope.
Things are worse than ever.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Maybe it'll be all right. Maybe things will get better. There is another NFC game to play this upcoming Sunday in the desert. We haven't turned the page yet. We'll get to it. But now that game, because of the other things that happened in the NFC and because of what the Bears did to themselves inside their game against Washington, now all of a sudden, that game becomes really important to your future.
And it becomes a lot scarier because, as we were hinting at in transition, you think Jonathan Gannon's going to look at the defensive approach by Dan Quinn and the Commanders and just kind of try to do that and keep Caleb confused? And you think the Bears offense on the road again, is going to play better just magically a week later? I'm afraid of the road. The way that game started with the Bears offense, by the way, and we got big plays and Hail Marys to dissect, but the whole first half was so scary, it sounded like all the stuff that the haters or the people around the league who said they haven't played anybody yet. It all felt true. Like, the whole thing's a sham. Let's see what happens when they get on the road. Let's see what happens when they get against a good team. All of a sudden, it all felt like your whole season was kind of a sham for a little while. Then Caleb found it. He found it and showed up in the fourth quarter, and that was relieving in the big picture.
That's one of the parts of this that's so disappointing, is that in a game that you should have lost, and then it did end up losing, there were moments where you go, oh, that's exciting that they didn't quit. Like, that's something, if you want to give Matt Eberflus credit, his team didn't go in the tank and lose this game by 20 points, which was possible with the way that things were going.
Mm-hmm. I thought they should have been down 17-0, 21-0, 24-0 after those four possessions.
The DeAndre Swift touchdown did something to that sideline, and they were able to get themselves back in order and then compete for the rest of the game and then take the lead in the game. And all of a sudden, you have some lapses of concentration. And we're going to spend a lot of time talking about Tyreek. There were lapses of concentration by the head coach of the Bears, too.
A ton of them.
And that needs to be addressed. Like, one of the things that this season has seemingly been about is that everyone wants the Bears to win and for it to feel good, and that's cool. That doesn't mean that you ignore stuff that you're seeing. That doesn't. And Eberflus and his tendency to not finish games as a head coach, to not be able to understand the strategy of the moment, is perplexing at this point in his career.
And he does have somebody on headset helping him with that, a specific coach like everybody does around the league.
But he shouldn't need, like
he clearly does, though.
But he shouldn't, if he does need that, then he shouldn't be your head coach.
Well, but if John Harbaugh has that, he was the first guy to have that.
No, Spiegs, I'm talking about the big picture stuff. I'm not talking about run the numbers for me on whether or not we should go for two. I'm talking about your guys aren't lined up properly. What exactly are you watching in that moment that would allow for you to go, oh, one of my corners' back is turned and you don't notice it? No one notices it.
Is he still thinking like a defensive coordinator 3 years in? That in that moment when Caleb Williams alerts him that the corners should be playing up on the second to last play, Eberflus' reaction is not, as a head coach, to turn and call timeout and get things settled. His reaction is to run down the line and try to yell at the corners to come up, which it's too late by then, and they don't understand, and you can't get that done. As soon as you're alerted to anything being off, call a timeout. You're the boss. He doesn't think like the badass boss. He doesn't seem to have that final hammer that needs to come down and say, whoa, bring it in. Let's get our freaking ducks in order, shall we? He doesn't seem to have that.
That's the way that it looks to me. And these are also things, like, had this happened on offense, had there been some snafus, and there were, but I mean specifically a game-winning drive on offense that he gets wrong, you might be able to let that go because he's a defensive coach. But because he's a defensive coach, your rookie quarterback had to explain to you what the other team was getting ready to do. You're a defensive coach. You couldn't survey the play and figure out, oh, that doesn't look right. We should probably call a timeout and get everyone refocused. Or even in the way that you think about the game, your strategy.
Yeah.
You thinking that the only play that matters is the Hail Mary. When had you done your job on the other one, the only thing that they would have been able to do is lateral. If you would have come up and made a play on the ball, and you could still, Speaks, I could draw it myself. You want to rush three? You want to have your corners come up and play at a 15-yard landmark?
And leave two centers in the back make sure.
And guess what? You still got six defenders.
Right.
That are gonna do something about the amazing miracle play that they're gonna do from their 35-yard line.
Uh-huh.
Like it is absurd that a coach who's this experienced at defense allowed what happened at the end to happen. And the frustrating part is not that it happened. It's frustrating that he doesn't have a cogent answer for why it happened.
And the very next day, when given another chance to get it right, he'd rather stay stubborn and defend his perspective than admit he was wrong. Or he just doesn't understand it.
If he doesn't understand it, it's even worse.
I can't believe that that's the case, that he doesn't think there was anything wrong. By now, he's got to understand just how wrong that is. Tony Romo on the broadcast is like, well, he could run a 12 or 13 yard out.
Romo told you exactly what was getting ready to happen. If the quarterback in the booth, who's barely paying attention, knows what's going on, then you, as the guy that's defending it, should know what's going on.
And your rookie quarterback is on the sideline right next to you telling you it's going to happen. So you have a rookie in game 7 who knows what's happening, and you've got Romo who knows what's happening, and you're in between and you don't know it. And on the second day, you either still don't know it or you won't admit it. We got big problems.
One of the problems that you have also is a player losing himself in his emotion.
And that goes to the big picture of what Matt Eberflus should have built by now with a player like Tyreek Stevenson.
So, look, I know that I'm coming out on fire when it comes to Matt Eberflus. I have a softer feel for the Tyreek thing because I do appreciate someone who takes accountability and apologizes. But he has been a habitual line stepper And this time it actually cost the Bears. So there's something there that needs to be addressed as well.
And there's a difference between a tweeted accountability on the team plane on your way home and actual accountability that you feel and sit in and own during the course of the week, the season, the rest of your career. So I'm hesitant to give it up for the accountability of a tweeted apology.
Well, for him to then go and speak in front of the entire team, I think that that counts for something.
It does, but you still got to hold somebody accountable and not just accept an apology in this case.
I agree. This is what Olin Krutz had to say about this earlier, because he was on with Mully and Haw, and I thought this was great. Now, remember, Olin was a captain of a team. He understands these things on a macro and micro level. Here's what he said bothered him about all of it.
It's a really good question, right? And I think that we all know how I would have handled this situation, on the airplane or in the locker room. But they have leaders on that team, right? And here's the thing that I immediately think about, guys, when I think about what should happen. What should they do? What should have happened? It should have happened weeks ago, right? The question I would ask Coach Eberflus is, Coach, have we seen any of this before? Have we allowed this kind of behavior for weeks, for months, and then it led to this? Because I see the same guy poking guys in the face, right? I see the same guy doing that. And I think to myself, man, what has he done that you allowed for so long that has led up to the fact that on a Hail Mary play, he's not facing the line of scrimmage? And I know he came out on Twitter and he apologized to everybody for his actions. But my thought immediately when I see something like that, guys, is, something's been going on for a while that you haven't nipped in the bud and you haven't taken care of. And I'm just guessing. And to me, really, the punishment should fit that. Is this the first time? Is he a pro every day? Does he work hard? Because, look, he does even make a good play in this game. He's a good football player against Zach Ertz, right? I think it was third down in the end zone. And he pushes the ball out. Good football play. Tyreek Stevenson is a good football player. And you give a little more leeway to a guy who can play the game. But if this has been going on for a while, if he's been late to meetings, if I had to talk to him too many times, and now this happened, then the punishment has to fit the crime.
I don't know if he's been late to meetings. That's great stuff from Olin. What I do know is that he committed a penalty in this game, a 15-yard after the play taunting penalty where he's poking his fingers into a lineman's face.
And the lineman just laughed at him.
Yeah, and we've seen this before. We've seen multiple penalties through the year and a half for Tyreek Stevenson. And in this game, he's locked up with Terry McLaurin. He is over-emotional and totally into it. And I know he's a really good player. It's right about, it's a 4-point play to knock the ball out of Zach Ertz's hands.
It's probably part of the reason that he is good.
Absolutely. So you got to let a guy live on that edge, but they've been letting him live so far on that edge that they've allowed him to still be this guy that commits the penalties and then does that at the end. And Olin is spot on that this far into his career, this far into Matt Eberflus's career, you got to have people that know how to close, know how to finish a game like adults. And this was a moment to finish a game like an adult. And not only did Tyreek get caught up with the crowd, but he then had the wrong responsibility on the Hail Mary play. He goes in there and gets in the way and taps the ball in the air, causing the freaking problem. So it's not just the taunting, it's getting in there with the wrong responsibility and wreaking havoc on his own team.
It's not the only thing that happened in yesterday's game that we need to discuss. And don't worry, in the 3 o'clock hour, we are going to let you get in on this too. When we come back, my partner has some strong feelings about the offense and some of the problems that the offense had yesterday. We'll discuss that next with you. Don't go anywhere. This is the place to be. Spiegel and Holmes talking Bears with you on the Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Bob Costas.
Matt, thank you very much. And Lawrence, stop dominating the conversation the way you have over the last several minutes, really.
Afternoons on the Score.
Hey, the spot's not as close to the sticks as I thought it was. It's almost a full yard.
Didn't get through the strongest, three of the strongest guys in two. Got to get out on the edge.
A throw for it. DJ Moore. Oh, and Luvu able to push it back after St. Chiefs made the first contact. What a stop by the Commanders. Oh, you thought DJ Moore might be able to figure out a way to fight for the yard, but they closed in on him. Luvu was there first.
They're going to run this smoke because he's so far off, but watch Luvu right here. This is the effort and the commitment it takes to be a championship-style team, and Luvu takes off running. You got to get to the ball. They call it loafs if you're not flying to the ball. See everyone flying to the ball? That's why this team is coming on their extra effort.
Speaks, you asked, what happened to the loafs?
They're getting called out for Washington. Dude, the quotes that keep, like, coming out from other players commenting on the situation, they're just getting more and more volatile. You seeing some of this stuff as it crosses?
Give us an example, Speaks. What are we talking about here?
Cole Kmet apparently saying that players need to respect the game. Need to learn how to respect the game.
He's right.
Calling out players for laying off sometimes during practice. And that's why I said to you during the break, what happened to loafs? I thought loafs were a bad thing. Loafs now is only what Shane Reardon is churning out, 19, 20 a week. Fakashas, man. Flying off the Reardon family shelves.
That deserved a rim shot.
Yes,
but
it
that's
did.
Okay.
There are no loafs at Rod Marinelli's daughter's restaurant in Las Vegas. Not a single loaf is available.
Maybe we look back on all of this, and it's good that there's so much honesty that's coming out of the Bears locker room. I do think that the honesty is a little concerning. And I also love it because this is what we do for a living, and you kind of want to know that guys are seeing some of the same stuff. And look, we've got Jalen Johnson on at 5 o'clock. I expect him to be very honest about some of this stuff.
And, yes.
And may, he'll give us some insight
I hope so.
Into all of this. But yeah, this is what it looks like before things go really badly. from my experience.
Oh, God.
I don't want to make this a universal thing, but from my experience, this is what it looks like before it all goes to heck.
I don't want to catastrophize, but that loss and what happens after it will have the power to define your season. It just will. And what happens after it is key. And we'll carve out time to talk about Tyreek and the blame and what you need to do.
My hope, and I want to be clear about this, my hope is that we might be in a new age where all of this honesty is taken and it's good and it turns into change. That's my hope. My experience has been, oh, this is the beginning of the thing where the guys are going to be doing this stuff and then it ends up bad.
Well, that's a larger, like, human therapeutic evolution kind of conversation, which you and I are prone to sometimes in terms of, like, if they can all hear this stuff and get real about it and have genuine accountability and genuine change, then it can be a good thing. But too often, people and their nature gets in the way and doesn't truly allow for that kind of thing. But, yeah, just, you know, big issues that end up getting discussed. Meanwhile, on the offensive side, that was so unbelievably disappointing and maddening to see the first three quarters of that game. They are now 3-for-18 on third down in the first quarter for over the course of the entire season. They have one touchdown drive all year in the first quarter, a 7-play, 70-yard drive to DJ Moore that did not have a third down on it. That's the only touchdown drive they have all year. They were bad again from the get-go. And there were so many moments where it looked again like Shane Waldron is a play collector and that things were not connected to each other. You know, where like runs are going outside and then going the other direction, but things are not matching up like they actually belong together, going through the Rolodex of run plays. And there was also just so many moments of freaking cute. Look at me and look how cute I am with all this stuff. We mentioned a couple in transition, the back-to-back quarterback draws in the fourth quarter before the pass interference call that gets bailed out, that Keenan gets bailed out, that sets up first and goal. All the fake screen timing stuff that has looked good at times looked chaotic yesterday, harder to do on the road. And that's part of the issue, is that the snap count is different on the road and things just didn't hold together. Caleb's performance is certainly part of the issue as well.
And the injuries and the ineffectiveness of your offensive line.
Yeah, yes, for sure. But the cuteness of giving the ball to Doug Kramer on the goal line when you're down five in the fourth quarter, that is a look at me. I dreamed it up. It was time to try it. No matter what, the situation does not call for that. Due respect to Doug, and I get that that's in there and it's part of that design of
unplug
having
the mini fridge.
Yeah. Whoa! What did he say? Screw that guy.
Unplug the mini fridge.
No. No, you don't unplug. I checked in on the mini fridge, by the way. He's very sad. He's despondent today.
Is that because his door flew open and all of the stuff came out?
Everything came out. Tanny had yogurts in there. It all just came flooding out. Everything that's in there. But way too much cuteness from Shane Waldron. Didn't you feel that way?
Yes, I did. And again, this is one of those things where I will hold the head coach accountable for it, because he should be able to hear in his headset what the play call is. And all he has to do is click the button and go, no, guys, I want to run it with Roshan here. How long did that take? That took 2 seconds. I want to run it with Roshan here. That's all. It's all you have to say. You don't have to come up with the actual play call. You just tell your OC knows what the play call is to give the ball to Roshan in that situation. Or DeAndre Swift, if he was in the personnel grouping. That's all you have to do.
That quick a veto, and they won't have to call the timeout. Might have had to burn one of the three timeouts, and we'd be freaking out that they burned one of their three timeouts.
You hear
but
that
that's
play,
better.
You hear that play call going, guys, I want to run with Roshan. Okay. And it can be the same play. Doug's the lead.
Same formation.
Sure. You're the lead on this. Roshan's getting the ball. And that's where I'm like, come on, man. Like, you've got to do something. You've got to know that this is too cute by half. I get that you drilled it. I do feel bad for Doug. But that's a play you call up 10.
Yes.
That, not chasing five.
That's a play you call up 25 in the Super Bowl. You know, it's a play where you enjoy yourself. Or if you're the Detroit Lions
and you're rolling and you're scoring 50 every week on people,
you're scoring 50 with less than 100 yards passing.
Yeah.
Jared Goff had a chance to have four straight games of a quarterback rating of 140 or better, and he fell short simply because the yardage wasn't enough. He didn't throw a pick. He threw three touchdowns. The completion percentage was very high, but he didn't have enough yardage to get the quarterback rating where it needed to go, which shows you how absurd that stat is.
And how stacked that team is overall.
Incredible.
Let's figure out what some of the issues with the offense were. Kurt Warner is going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on what he saw from Caleb and this offense next. Spiegel and Holmes talking Bears with you till 6 on The Score.